Nova is not easily rattled, but she can't take her eyes off whatever's on her computer screen. "Look at this," she points to an email. I lean over her shoulder and read the words aloud. "For all of us, being dead would be better than living with him. When Charlie said no man is a man until his father dies, I knew what I had to do." "No name," she says. "Just an email address. loser1121@anonymous.org. There's a coldness in the pit of my stomach. After 10 years, I can tell when someone is about to cross the blood-red line. I keep my voice even. Did I say that? Nova's fingernails are already chewed to the quick, but she slides what remains of her thumbnail into her mouth and nods. "You did. I checked through the tapes for the last 6 weeks and found the exact words." She adjusts the elastic on her ponytail. "The topic was guilt. The caller's name was Brian, and he was beating himself up because his father died, and all he felt was relief." "I remember," I say. "That voice is pretty hard to forget. Brian sounded as if he was being torn apart by the hounds of hell." "It wasn't any easier listening to him the second time," Nova says dryly. "I jotted down the key points of your conversation." She picks up a scratch pad and begins reading. "Brian said, 'A man's supposed to cry for his father, but I can't cry. I just keep feeling relieved that he's finally gone. You tried a couple of approaches, but you weren't connecting. Finally, you reached into your tickle trunk of a brain and came up with something that worked. Fathers cast long shadows, you said. It's easy to get lost in them.'" "That's when Brian started listening," I said. "I told him about an article I'd read. The writer believed fathers become an audience of one for their sons." Nova reads from her scratch pad. "Fathers teach their son how to throw a ball, and then they watch and cheer. A boy grows up knowing that his dad's always going to be in the stands watching. Which is great unless the boy becomes a man who is still always trying to please that audience of one," I say. "And that's where the fatal quote came in." Nova consults her scratch pad again and reads, "The son who is always trying to please his father will never be a man until the father dies." I rub the back of my neck. The aspirin has not yet worked its magic. I watch Nova's face carefully. "Would you interpret that as me giving someone license to kill his father?" Nova's smile is thin. "No, I'd interpret that as you telling Brian that he isn't a monster, that other people have reacted to a father's death the way he has. But people hear what they want to hear." "And loser1121 wanted to hear that he'd be justified in killing his father." Nova's face is tense. "Not just his father. The email reads, 'For all of us, being dead would be better than living with him.' Charlie, I think loser1121 is planning to kill everyone in his family, including himself." I feel as if someone has just dropped a large barbell on the back of my neck. "So where do we go from here?" I say. "Your decision," Nova says. "Since I came to work tonight, I've had 2 hang-ups. I usually take that as an indication that the caller wants to talk to you." Her brow furrows. "Do you think it's time to alert the police?"